Blog Talk Radio.
Did you know that everyone is born with psychic abilities? It's just a matter of knowing how to tap into it. Wouldn't it be great to have a podcast that can help? This is the Psychic Inside Show. Joelle the Vibrarian,
on a higher frequency,
is on a mission to elevate, enlighten, and empower. We're all born with gifts and abilities, but not all of us recognize or accept them. Hear from people who've opened up to the psychic inside. You'll hear their fascinating stories, and we'll take a peek behind the veil, plus psychic readings and more. Our phone line is open. Dial 646-787-8436. That's 646-787-8436. This is the Psychic Inside Show. And now your host, Joelle the Vibrarian.
Hello, hello, and hello. Welcome. I am so delighted to be here. This is the Psychic Inside Show, and as you heard, my name is Joelle. I am out here on a mission to elevate, enlighten, and empower. One of the ways that I do this is by having conversations on this podcast. You may be catching me live on Blog Talk Radio, on the Vibrary Collective Network, also on iTunes, Spotify, Amazon, any of the podcast directories if you're catching this replay. So glad that you're tuning in. You can listen online or stream on our phone call, 646-787-8436. If you're on the phone lines and you have a question, please press the pound or hashtag and one to come on the air. Now, let me just say for the record, tonight we are not offering psychic readings with my guests on the show. You'll have to tune in for one of our upcoming episodes for that. But nevertheless, I do hope that you will stick around because I am very truly excited about the conversation that I'm going to have with you. Now, as you heard, the show is, the motto is that everyone is psychic, you just may not realize it. And my purpose in interviewing people on this show is so that you get an opportunity to hear about the ways that people have embodied themselves and about the things that they might have encountered along the way uncovering this. Now, not everybody resonates with the term psychic, but there are a lot of ways that people are living that we can learn from. And my guest this evening is a wonderful lady who I have learned a wealth of information from. So just as always, I have a bit of a backstory. So as a librarian, vibrarian, information is my jam. I'm always uncovering things that I want to read and expand my knowledge. And a couple years ago now, I was led to a resource known as the Stellar Nations. And actually, I heard of it at an earlier title. I think it was like at the Cosmic Gateway, at the Gateway of Cosmic Transcendence or something like that. But by the time I got it, it had been rewritten and it was the Stellar Nations. It is a two-volume complex set of information that has just been phenomenal for me to read. Now, it's taken me a couple years to work my way through it. But part of my process of that was to get my own chart based on the system of wisdom that was contained in this book. Of course, I had a challenge understanding that chart because it was very complex. And so the authors referred me to my guest tonight as a teacher, resourcer, way shower to help me understand and unlock my personal code. So Leslie, welcome tonight to the Psychic Inside, excuse me, Psychic Inside Show. I'm so glad you are here.
Thank you, Joelle. It's nice to meet you this way. I met you the galactic face, if you will, you know, the stellar mantle around it that tells you about.
Oh, because, I'm afraid, you know, I'm...
I think
I think I missed what you said. You said stellar mantle, and then I didn't hear the next bit.
Oh, I mean, I met you by doing a reading for you, and it's always an interesting experience for me because I don't know the people, but yet I'm meeting them on such an interesting kind of soul level, because we're all born when we come down through the etheric birth canal. We have an imprint of stars around us, and literally it's like aspects of our soul are on those stars. Those stars are sentient beings. They're basically like the cells of a light body that we are. But of course we come into incarnation, we come into our body because this is a way to experience and learn on Earth. But this stellar mantle is a remembering field around us. And so when I do the readings, it's funny because I meet people that way first, you know, because I see their code and spend time with it and kind of get into an aura field or a whole deep impression about a trajectory of themes and consciousness over time. And then I meet the person, which is always fun. And there's always a beautiful bridge there. So it's you know, this is called the Antares Code. And I think the word code is kind of operative because it's a wonderful way to find out over time. You know, a code, it has a little mystery to it as far as following feelings and uncovering things. And that's what can happen with this. And I think you discover that. So anyway, that's a long way of saying thank you for having me. It's going to be fun to talk to you again.
It is absolutely true. The code, it's interesting because I started reading the book a couple years ago. And so I had my code because I received it at the time that I ordered it. But of course, excuse me, everyone, I live in Atlanta and the pollen is already out. So I'm having a little bit of allergies here. Excuse me. Okay, so it took me a couple years to even get my code. And then I reached out, I think maybe a year ago, but I couldn't get the timing right. And then it all kind of fell together really nicely with there's some stellar energy that was coming through at the time. And then, of course, we had our session, which was very intense. And then, you know, wanting to continue and to learn more about you as a person in tandem with receiving the knowledge. Because what I want to explain to you all is that this set of books, The Stellar Nations as They Are Now, is over 600 pages in two volumes of a very dense galactic understanding that was brought in by Hungarians. Okay, so how do you, a lady from the Pacific Northwest, encounter a translated Hungarian channeled cosmic teaching?
That's a good question. I think it was all preordained or something. Bay and Aniko, who are the two women in Hungary who brought in this information in 2005, have long worked with stellar consciousness for many, many, many lifetimes, back from Lemurian times. I mean, they have a certain recall of this over time. Now, they were normal humans, too. When Bay was 20, she was in medical school, and she had a car accident and actually died. And when she was out of her body and really expanding and about to move on, she was shown a package of just beautiful possibilities and sort of asked, you know, said, if you stay in your body and your life, these are things you can do. Jumped back into her body, which wasn't easy. She was very injured and she was in the middle of medical school. She was in learning a structure that was kind of, well, you know how it is. It's organized and it's got its good points, but it's challenging points. And anyway, she stuck it out through medical school. She also became a homeopath, too, because I think that added a little bit of, softness to the whole actual medical field. But what happened with her is the the bridge between being able to apprehend, you know, it's just a physical human where we're a little bit limited with our sensory understanding. That bridge between our human self and being able to apprehend into the other levels or dimensions never closed down after that accident. And she, one of the reasons she went to medical school, she had a very deep passion for healing, but really healing at a soul level, which is where the whole stellar pursuit came in. And then she's got the other woman she works with is a very, I don't know exactly what it is, but they're soul partners. They've known each other for many lives. She was also born at the same, in 1968. And she also had an accident, a car accident in 1988, same year. She didn't die, but it put her through a lot of things that, you know, she has been a healer of many modalities, but it deepened all that. And then they met in 1999, which is when we were starting to come, Earth was starting, and our Milky Way galaxy was starting to come out of the long galactic night of 11,000 plus years into the light of the photon band. And in 2005, they worked with stellar consciousness ever since they met. They remembered Pleiadian associations and kind of have the ability to understand these worlds and what the knowledge contained there. But actually, these worlds are really parts of ourselves, which I can explain. But in 2005, they were approached by a different level of consciousness from the star Antares, which is where the galactic records of the Milky Way galaxy are held in sound vibrations, because that's a seventh dimensional world, which is holds energy patterns in sound. And they were taken over 18 months through stellar pathways, over 230 stars for 13 stellar soul families, which are really And our cosmic history of the Milky Way galaxy and all the patterns, karmic patterns of what we are and the trajectory of our consciousness and what we're about, it is really what the Stellar Nations is. And now you ask me, did I find it? The book came out in 2000. The books came in Hungarian in 2007. And they've long worked with a core group of people. They have many followers in Eastern Europe, but they have a core group of people who can literally show up, you know, like 120 people. And they would have meetings every 6 weeks or so. And they continue to get information from the Stellar Nations, because these are living forces. It's not, those books are, you know, you're looking at something that might just look like static information, but it's not, because once you start engaging with it, those are living forces really that start helping you recall part things.
Absolutely.
Because what they are, they're galactic myths, but inside those stories, there's kind of the energy patterns that exhibit some of our karmic knots and ties, our challenges and our, So anyway, 2007, they got the book out. They anchored the stellar portals as they were asked to do. They continue to work with this every 6 weeks or so with their group because this is information that's evolving, especially as we're moving more. We're now completely into the light of the photon belt. But they were led to put the book into English in 2012. They were told that was very important. And it was hard. It was hard to find, you know, someone who would understand it and who could speak well enough English and yet kind of understand this strange concept.
Anyway. It's very complex, yes.
Yeah. Well, they were graced with a woman in their group, not too old, but I don't know, she's in her 20s or 30s, but she had lived in the United States, actually in Seattle, for several years in high school. So she had attained enough understanding of English, and yet she was Hungarian, and yet she was in their group. So she put those books in English, and interesting, they were shown by the Celestials. The Celestials are what they call the the delegations that showed them all this, they were shown that there were three groups of people waiting for this information. And group in Hungary, where they knew, they had started to cultivate that, and it just expanded. And then on Australia, which actually didn't come true for quite some time, but almost immediately it came true in the third place, which was the west coast of the United States. Mm-hmm. And I live in the Pacific Northwest. Mm-hmm. And there's a shop in town, a metaphysical shop that was in town. And the owner of that shop is the sister-in-law to Barbara Han Clow, who's a pretty well-known astrologer. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So they had actually wanted to use a diagram from one of Barbara Han Clow's books, but they needed to get permission. And they found out they could approach the owner of the shop because she was a relative.
Mm-hmm.
But the interesting thing, when they did that, they had actually seen that shop in their visions
mm-hmm.
6 months before
mm-hmm.
because the shop had a very interesting sound chamber that was constructed of these yellow bars and kind of a geometrical shape. So they had seen that. And the owner of the shop, before they even knew what was going to come about, they just knew they were going to be trying to get this book out. And the shop happened to be on the West Coast. So the owner of the shop was very open to this. And she's like, I have books. I'll carry books. And she put out a display table and the books and some pamphlets. And immediately in 2012, about 25 people just gravitated and were all excited about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I found it soon after. I actually didn't find it right away. I had a friend who had found it, came over one day, and she said, I really think you'll resonate with this. And I did. I read it. I read the whole thing. They say, take your time, think about it. But my nature was I just had to see the whole picture. I mean, I've gone over it a gazillion times since. But I read the whole thing, rather quickly in like 2 months to get the whole scope. And
at the Gate of Cosmic Transfiguration, is that that title, or is it kind of how it's presented now? Because there was a major revision.
You know what it is? It's a little confusing. The Gate of Cosmic Transfiguration never made it into English. So the Stellar Nations did that you read.
Mm-hmm.
However, since I ended up making a really deep association with Beta Nanico in Hungary for some whatever soul reason.
Mm-hmm.
Part of it was this group that was meeting at this little shop. I got asked to lead a session one day in the Pegasus Nation, and then it just kind of took off that
mm-hmm.
I started organizing the group and ran it for a number of years when we were meeting in person.
Mm-hmm.
Especially before COVID changed a lot of that. But so what happened is about a year or two, I think 2015, they asked me to edit another book they did called Calling You, that's over 700 pages, and that that happened. They got all that information came to them in 2012. Because 2012 was known as the year of the bears. That's one of the stellar nations. And every year since they founded the books, we would have, from 2008 to 2021, we would have a stellar nation come forward to bring more information. And sometimes there'd be lapse patterns in a given stellar nation. And it was like, the collective is ready because we're coming into the light of the photon belt that our deeper unconscious shadows come forward. So what would happen is they and Aniko would work with that nation and they would receive stars would be revealed with further stories. It's kind of like when the collective is ready to see something, how it comes out. It's almost amazing to think that we never saw Chiron as the wounded healer until 1977, he's come so far.
Yes.
But anyway, the 2012 was when Calling You came, which is the Bear Nation or Christ Consciousness. And that was really the story that they were told of the arc of evolution of Christ Consciousness in this creation cycle from Lemuria on Earth to the present and the Holy Family and a lot of information. But what you're referring to, I'm excited to tell you, The Gate of the Cosmic Transfiguration, that book has been revised, updated, added to many times in Hungarian. And literally last week, it's a two-volume set, it's another 800-page. Literally last week, I finished editing that, and it's going to come out. It's now called Stellar Destinies, Volume 1 and 2.
Oh,
and it is such, yeah, it's a beautiful history, beautiful cosmic history of our collective cry out in the late 1800s to develop on Earth a fate alternative of an ascension that would run parallel to the fate alternative that of an apocalypse that was kind of building a lot of strength. And that, it's the whole story of how that was responded to and grounded in 1987 with the harmonic convergence.
Yeah.
And then it takes us on from there, telling us all about the Pleiades and our relationship with the Pleiades and the stars there and onto the Orion constellation and Sirius and to the Andromeda galaxy and takes us through Lemuria in depth, takes us to Atlantis, takes us to memories of the Island of the Stars in Lemuria, Island of the Crystals, Lemuria. And a lot of this is waking up now. So it's really timely. This is going to come out as a legitimate ebook probably in the next couple months. So,
you know, it's interesting because I've been torn because I have the ebook versions, but I feel like I want the print of the ebooks, but like the whole shipping and all, it's like, ooh, it's a
lot.
There, those like resources that you almost want to thumb through, and in the case of an electronic apocalypse, not lose. You know?
I know. It's really hard because the Stellar Nations has caught on and been going around the globe, which is great all these years, but it's 4 pounds. The shipping keeps going up. Brazil won't let it through customs for some reason. they've returned it 3 times. I don't know why. So,
I restrict the pricing. You know, it's I'm definitely as a book librarian type person, I feel like, and now that I know that there's the redoing of the Calling, the book, I might go ahead and invest in that in print. You said it's going to be about over 700 pages.
Well, Calling You is in print. It's in print.
Not Calling You,
That Stellar Destiny is not going to come out right away in print, but it's actually going to come out, like some people are getting quite, they're getting comfortable with an ebook format, like not a PDF, but, you know, where you can set it up and save your pages. It's been set up that way. But anyway, that's how I came into it, because I just, you know, somehow I must have been one of those people on the West Coast that they were told was waiting for it. And then the affiliation just happened so naturally. And then I just kept growing with it. Like being an editor of it is really helpful because especially back like in 2015, they had one of their students put it in English. It was pretty hard to discern. I would feel like I would be in a cave sometimes, you know, very dimly lit, just groping the walls of these words. Like, okay, what are you trying to say? Which is actually wonderful in a way because it had to come in through the and up through the inside, which is really how this information does work.
Yeah.
You know, I hate to say this, but in the last little while, I've been getting stuff that I've been able to just Google Translate or Word Translate. And it's doing a really good job. I mean,
the
I hate to say it.
Is getting better.
Yeah, no, I mean, I know what I mean by not liking to say it is I think we need to be judicious in how we use our artificial intelligence.
Yes, absolutely.
But in this application of it has seemed to be pretty good lately. The phrasing and the emotion and the like the metaphor that they get through it is actually, I mean, I still have to mold it a little to better English, but anyway. So
the casual language, the current casual language understanding of automatic translation services, they've done a lot of like parsing of how we really communicate versus how books communicate. So I think that's why the translating has been better. You know, I definitely think that it's been helpful to me to access some material. So I do understand what I'm reading, but, you know, Hungarian is not like the easiest of languages in general. And I understood everything, you know, very well as I was reading it. And then, of course, then when we began talking, you know, it was helpful on a whole new level. But like prior to your encounter with this, so in 1999, where were you and what did your life look like at that point when they were going through their...
Such an interesting question, because in 1999, I literally said to myself, I'm like, what is happening? I kept the inside, I was going, there was like a cosmic wind that was pushing me, and I was absolutely insistent on discovering what flower essences were. Like, I had to know what flower essences, and for some reason, I couldn't find good sources. Eventually, I did. Eventually, I ran into the work of Michelle Small Wright, who runs something called the Nature Research Institute in West Virginia called Perelandra. She named it after the C.S. Lewis book, Perelandra. But she's quite an amazing lady. She works with the nature consciousness and really broke it down. She really understood that we are humans and she says, we're evolutionary consciousness. We're in form and we're here to develop things as we're in form. But how do we get, you know, how do our ideas come into form, or how do things come into form? And she said, you know, we're missing the whole level of evolutionary consciousness, which is basic level and the fairies, elves, nature spirits. And so she created a whole new kind of gardening that's really beyond like organic. It's all based on the balancing and she created a way of, she calls them conings. You open up a meeting and respectfully ask for your higher self and the Davidic level of whatever you want to create, you know, if it's a garden or whatever. And then you ask for a Pan as the nature spirit level. And on the evolutionary side, you also ask for something called the White Brotherhood, which has nothing to do with color, but it's just a group of souls who help with evolution. So anyway, I learned that's something she realized has application. Anything in form state can exist in a coning, and it can be more metaphysical processes. And interestingly, in 1999, I found her, I found the flower essences, and I'm a regular kind of housewife at that point. I mean, I have all these odd jobs because I don't like working for anybody, but
right.
I have these two little kids, and my very tragically three young people, teenagers, died in our town, and it was, you know, it was a big splash in the news, and I kept hearing inside. I had just learned about something called the post-death flower essence process, and that is you can open a coning and you ask for the Deva of the flower essence process and the nature spirit, and you put your higher self in the coning, and you put the higher self of someone who has died. But it has to be within the first 72 hours. That's when we're still connected to the
mm-hmm.
our electrical field has left the body, but is still part of the earth plane's electrical field.
Okay.
And then you have to really respectfully ask, you know, do you, like, hey, I have this process if you'd like me to use it. So what happened is I thought I was crazy. I'm like laying there putting my kid to bed, and I keep hearing to do this process for one of the teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
Three of them
mm-hmm.
had died.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did it. You know, I opened the colony the next day. I followed the book. I had all these flower essences out. And I come into this apprehension, almost like I'm in a room, and I meet this feeling of a person just being at the threshold of a door and just frozen there, like not being able to move
mm-hmm.
through the door.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, all right, I'm just a housewife for Bellingham, and this sounds crazy, but, you know, and I explained it. And we use kinesiology, which I can do with my fingers. I learned to do Michelle Small Wright's. There's many ways to do it, but I liked her method. And so that's muscle testing, you know, you connect to the electrical field of that person if you have permission, and he gave permission. And then what happens is you have all your flower essences in front of you, and you just go through testing to see
mm-hmm.
what might help this person. Because
mm-hmm.
the flower essence is just a vibrational signature,
yeah.
an energy
okay.
pattern, right?
Yeah.
So what happened is, I mean, it became something I did a lot later for many years, but this is the first time. And you have these spoons laid out, and usually you get two or three rounds of it. And, you know, you test, and maybe you get five essences or 10 essences, and they're on spoons. And you ask the nature spirit to move those vibratory patterns into the electrical field of the person who's no longer in their body. And
mm-hmm.
it's so amazing, because every layer is just like taking layers off an onion. You can feel things lighten. So by the end of this, this person was, rather than being like frozen at a door jam, I felt these wide arcs of energy, like just swinging through the galaxy, and I kept hearing, "Hey dog, hey dog." So 3 days later, you know, I closed the coning and all. 3 days later, I read the newspaper article about these three young people. They each had progressively died, but I was actually told just specifically do this person.
Mm-hmm.
And this particular person was an avid skateboarder, you know, back and forth. In fact, his family established a skateboard park in town, you know, in the ensuing years in his memory.
Mm-hmm.
And his very best friend was Red Dog. Well, he nicknamed everybody. So he nicknamed
mm-hmm.
his best friend Red Dog. So then I'm like, oh, my gosh, maybe there was something to that. So anyway, so that's the interesting thing. I mean, every step of the way, so 1999, when they met and the photon belt came in and all that, then I'm just working like kind of crazily in all these one thing after another from, you know, 99 all through up to 2003. And it's interesting because I turned 50 in 2003 or is about to, and I always, my inner voice, which I actually never really listened to, I started to listen in 99. No, honestly, it got me sick because in my inner voice,
did.
Yeah, when my inner voice told me that I would do my real work after 50. So I'm starting to get excited, right? I find
mm-hmm.
out, like, right before I'm going to turn 50, that I have this really aggressive cancer uterine. That's kind of like ovarian cancer. It's uterine cancer, but it's aggressive cell type. And usually you manage it. You don't banish it. What happened is that's 2003, and it took me into 2004. But it was a real odyssey, I did heal. It never came back, which kind of surprised all my doctors because it was the cell type that was recurrent.
Mm-hmm.
But it's because I needed to heal on a soul level. I really wasn't committed to life. I didn't believe my inner voice. I kind of thought the God force played with us like, you know, batting, like a cat bats toys around. I thought it was a very capricious universe. You know,
yes.
Alfred Einstein asked, is it a friendly universe? And I would have said no. You know, I mean, I tried to act a different way, but my inner being was just kind of not there. You know, I didn't feel like I fully occupied my body, and I feel that I call this in really as a soul crossroads. Like, are you going to stay or not? And honestly, I would have probably jumped out, but I had a 10 and 12 year old, and I had my husband, and I just felt, you know, I'm not doing that. I'm not leaving them.
Yeah.
So it kept me very committed. But what happened is, right on the night before I went, I had to go to the hospital quite fast and drastic surgery and all that. But I did a shamanic journey with a friend right before that. And I had, I was introduced to this incredible horse, Pegasus thing, which actually becomes very meaningful in the Stellar Nations. It's the very first class I had to teach, you know, 10 years later when I was asked to teach in that little group. But anyway, I was shown many things. And so I actually, my larger healing over the next year, I wasn't going to do the chemotherapy and radiation because the Iraq war had just broken out. Mm-hmm. And I was so appalled about, like, I'm not doing chemotherapy. I'm not bombing my body, you know. But what happened is I was shown so many ways over about 2 months of me putting it off that I needed to do that. But I did it in a very particular way. I talked to the oncologist. I'm not doing this three-week thing where I wipe myself out. You know, I had read about fractionalizing the doses and, anyway, I worked with flower essences the whole time. So I worked with a zillion things. Like, I finally let my inner voice have its way. And I found so many magical things. And I remembered so many things as far as, you know, kind of inner, maybe soul hangups. So I did heal from that. And when I came out of that, I didn't know what to do. I had to create a job. So I absolutely adored my grandmother when I was younger, and I was 26 years old. I was with her alone when she died in a hospital, and it was an amazing experience because there's huge light came in the room. There was about a 10-minute process where I could feel her, and then right before she left, she squeezed my hand, and I just realized when I looked at her body that, oh my God, we're really not our body. So I had that anchored in my understanding, and I really like seniors, and I'm kind of a caregiver by nature. So I went and took at a local community college. I just took a little certified nurse's assistant thing, and I got state licensed. But I didn't go work anywhere. It's so interesting. I magically got clients for the next 10 years. And I felt like our souls were just meant to be together. And what they did for me is I had to deal with their acute, you know, needs as seniors. And on some of them I worked for up to 6 years. But so they weren't necessarily end of life as far as terminal. But I saw all of them out of their lives, and it was a progression. But so I got to watch. I mean, I had to ground in myself, which was hard for me to do. That's part of why I got sick, to be very present for them. So they gave me that gift. But then I could see all the transcendence they were going through, because that was much more my natural inclination and seeing, and especially since I had been listening more since 99. So then I would help them translate, you know, what other people would think would be dementia I mean, sometimes it is, but a lot of times it's not. It's just it's just perceptions
dropping. Dimensional veil. Yeah.
So many people, ended up really, it was really kind of an amazing thing because a couple of people, actually, I've read a description by Eckhart Tolle of people dying where they just almost become like a light form and you see light coming from them, through them. You know, as they're leaving, or not necessarily in the last minutes, but even in the last, in their last days when they're in that state that they're shutting down. Mm-hmm. And two women in particular who I had such an amazing, couple years with where we just lived in a transcendent state and laughed about it while we were here doing our things. They just died like that. They were just like light streaming through. But it's funny because I got to 2012, everybody died. Like I would never leave people because I got so emotionally, like they got emotionally connected to me. I felt it would be cruel to leave them. But everybody died in 2012, and I was feeling like I'm supposed to do something else. 2013 was very unsettled for me. I was looking at my second Saturn return, but I actually did help four more people die, but it was in a very kind of quick thing. I didn't get involved in years of work with them. But that's the year I found the Stellar Nations. But the interesting thing is, I actually the palliative care movement and the death cafe whole thing, which is kind of what I'd been doing for a decade, opened up in our community. The university got some palliative, and they were looking for people, and they were having meetings, and they went to the meetings, and everybody's talking about it and going to death cafes. And I'd be sitting there going, oh, my gosh, I've been doing this for a decade. Why don't I try to take the leadership position here? And I just didn't want to. And then one night I was at one of those meetings, and my inner voice goes, no, you're supposed to go walk. You're supposed to go open a new room. and you know what it told me? It said, if you stay here doing this, it's a noble distraction. so I didn't stay doing it, but I didn't know what the heck I was going to do. Anyway, the bottom line is I think by grace, I met the Stellar Nations. And the other thing that I think helped me meet the Stellar Nations is the year before when so many people had died, I was just going through transcendence, and I love that state, but I need to be alive, I'm a mother and all that. I was obsessed with a question, how do I become a boundaryless self? Like, meaning, how do I be alive, but, not feel stuck, kind of? I can finish this long kind of blah, blah of mine by saying that answer came to me in the Stellar Nations because it's utterly like when you really start understanding yourself through the coherency of like your light body that has solar aspects and all these different stars, but there's such a coherency to this whole system and stories. When you understand that, it's like you're grounded, but in boundlessness. So you are like a boundaryless self. You get to have both. You get to have the two opposites are actually coexistent. So it's very cool and fun.
Oh, it absolutely is. I mean, one of the reasons why it's taken me time is because each nation that I've encountered, it's like those boundaries that drop, and then my experience of, in a visceral way, of the story of that nation. And it got to I was maybe on the third or fourth one. I was like, well, geez, are all of these, because, at a certain point, that's my story. Oh, my gosh, I know that story. I know that feeling. Or tears would well up, or it's just so relatable. And then I would start seeing certain stories of the highs and lows of the nations playing out in the external stage on the news or in government and politics. So I just couldn't ingest all of it because it was overwhelming me with
You got it. No, I really respected you. I remember you contacted me like almost a year before we did the reading. And then, you know, because you were getting ready. But then, like you said, you got into this process. And I think it was great. You did it when it was right for you. To look a little more. And it's true, because what happens in the stories, it's really our bigger patterns that are coming forward. And there's something about the fact that we're meeting them in this mythic way that we understand they're not just like if we have a brother who's really mean and we're like, what's wrong with me? You know, you might start to see, oh my goodness, that's some kind of pattern we had. And I mean, it's not like it makes it easier per se, but in a way it does, because it takes out that immediate emotional sting, and you spread out a little bit and go, okay, let's look at this. Not to say, like you said, like the tears don't come, or, you know, I have had certain stellar nations I've been in, you know, kind of broken open by a story and maybe been in grief for 3 months. But after it's like the knots or the threads in a deep karmic knot have been pulled out. And then after that, there's such a lightening.
Yes, there is a relief. That's for sure. A catharsis, if you will. Now, I want to share, if people, if you are interested in finding out more about the Stellar Nations, Leslie has a great amount of resources. So first, let me say that you recently posted to your YouTube channel about the Stellar Nations that have to do with this year, and it's a tie into the Wood Dragon lunar energy, and we've got the Serpent Nation coming forth, and
it's the Great Feline Nation.
The Great Feline,
but you're right. Yeah.
You've got a recent teaching on that, and for people who are curious about the Stellar Nations, you can go through a teaching series of all of these. You don't have to struggle like I did there. You do have your Stellar Nations teaching. Can you share a little bit about that on your what you've made available with your it's not just you, right?
I was invited in last year. This is a resource that's nice to know about. I mean, let me first say that I don't have my own website really, because I'm an ambassador to this work. And so the Stellar Nations is stellarnations.com if you want to look at it, and the books and how to order your code and different things. There is a blog site on there that I've done since 2016. And it's a lot of different things, but if you're really curious, you could go, I would suggest, start at the bottom and just kind of read through. And some of them are even videos. And then just recently, I haven't honestly really organized it very well yet, but the Stellar Nations YouTube video site in English had very little on it because, you know, they developed the Hungarian. So I did make two new English ones and put it on there, and I have a few others to go on there. So I do need to organize it, but you could do Stellar Nations on YouTube and start finding things. And I got invited a while ago by David Farrell from Quantum Plant Healing, who started another endeavor called Quantum Planet World, and it has a cosmology section of it.
Yeah.
And what we did last year, what we did is every 13 days, because that's a Mayan way of spell, which is like an energy container.
Yes, it is.
And it was kind of crazy, but it was really interesting. Starting on June 13th, which was my birthday, it was a wave spell start. I made a video on one stellar nation at a time. So that it ended up being 15 videos. Even though there's 13 stellar nations, I did like the male and female serpents separately, and I did the whales and the dolphins separately. So what that is on Quantum Planet World, you can register there, and then if you go to their tab called Bundles, I mean, if you like to learn things audiovisually, what we did is we made modules, and it's my class, which is an hour to 2 hours, and it literally is audiovisual walking us through the stellar pathway, the worlds, the story. And we have David and his partner Bella and I have a conversation about that. That's like another video that lasts for about an hour. While we were doing this, Bella, who's Colombian, put the Stellar Nations in Spanish, which is really exciting. It's in German, Russian, Slovakian, Hungarian, English, and now Spanish. Okay. And they're really open to anybody who wants to translate in another language. But at any rate, so we made these 15 modules, and they're available with the audiovisual of the story, our conversation of it, and then I also cataloged if I'd written any relevant blogs or if there's any guided meditations that are in English that they and Anacle have done. They've managed to put like 10 of their 100 meditations in English. Then I would put it in the appropriate module. So that is something that's available. It is for a cost, but it's a modest price considering what it is. And some people, and some people are better with audiovisual. You know, I've had people be frustrated because maybe they are dyslexic or something. And I still think the books are really amazing, even though they were put in English and never edited, but they're still really darn good. There's these magic things in there. There's magic lines that wake you up in there.
Oh, absolutely. Now, I also, so when I ordered my books at StellarNations.com, I had the opportunity to purchase the Antares Code, and you can also order it as a standalone. And when you place your order, you will receive an email suggesting that you reach out to Leslie for assistance.
Yeah.
Because you said the official ambassador.
Well, there's three blogs I've written, if you like the written form, that are in that letter. And now I've made three, YouTubes, audio visuals, that are in that letter, you know, just to help people get started. But I do read Antares Code, as you and I did together. And that's something interesting, because they can attune into the Akashic records. So if you don't know your exact time of birth, which happens to people, you know, maybe a family story is, oh, you came late in the afternoon, but that's it. You know, you don't know anything. It does cost a little more because she has to takes her some time, but she can attune into the Akashic records, and she asks you to fill out a questionnaire because some of your proclivities will help her. Like she might get into a zone of a time zone and then it becomes clearer and clearer. But sometimes the way you're exhibiting in your incarnation, like in the way you've answered the questions, helps her pinpoint. It's really kind of funny though when you get your code when she's picked out the time, because it's always like 3:13:49. You're like, oh my gosh, you know, it's so precise. Anyway, that is if you ever interested in this and you look at the website, you would see Antares Code without correction or Antares Code with time correction, and that's what that means.
Oh, okay. And, you know, what you also mentioned, I wanted to spotlight so people can be aware, this is a living understanding. So when you're talking about, like, new things are coming in, if I would have had my session with you 2 years ago versus when we had it, there were new understandings and energies unfolded or that I had experienced that shaped the context of the conversation we had. And it'll be like that 5 years from now, because we'll get more of that kind of disclosure of ourselves through this work that they're continuing to do.
Yes, and that's one of the reasons I do try to put out a little information about what's happening. And sometimes I do have live calls. I have a mailing list. I'm actually going to set one up this coming Sunday because they're actually working all day Sunday. Their group gets together, as I said, intermittently, especially around the solstices and equinoxes. Mm-hmm. And we're going to have the equinox in a few hours here, the spring equinox. Yeah, but at any rate, so all day Sunday, they'll be working with the energy of the Dragon Nation, which is a warrior nation.
Yes.
And it's such a beautiful nation because it's that part of ourselves that stands up with just absolute determination for divine order and divine law. But as we saw in cosmic history, things happen, and there are parts of the story where there's been lapses. And, you know, that's all the things that are coming to light now for us to clear, really. I mean, we're in such an interesting time because we're literally being asked to experience and clear all our timelines, our karmic timelines, because there is the possibility of Gaia. Well, Gaia herself is undergoing a dimensional shift, and our consciousness can be part of that. We can go into that. And we've heard many takes on this from many groups. Mm-hmm. Stellar Nations has their own written up and not. But the main thing right now is if we're to move into a fifth dimensional expression of life and by our consensus reality, mm-hmm. we really can't do that if we have too much shadow inside of us, because it's all about resonance.
Mm-hmm.
And from the third dimension where we live, the law of polarity, it's been such a wonderful place to learn. The
mm-hmm.
law of polarity is yin yang, absolutely equal and opposite. We have increasing shadow, we get increasing light. It's really hard.
Right.
You know, and what we've had to do is learn to stand in the middle and not engage with either or, but stand
mm-hmm.
in the middle and try to find something above that, really. And that's what's happening. With all this light coming in from the photon belt, we're starting to remember that we're really created with a divine spark in us. And if we remember that and we can reignite that in its fullness, when we live on a fifth, sixth dimensional frequency, the laws of polarity are different. There's still a little catalytic shadow. There's nothing wrong with the shadow. It's, you know, it's a provocative force. But when we increase our light on those dimensions, the shadow decreases. And then we can have a whole different kind of consensus reality.
Yeah.
But the thing is, if we move into a fifth dimensional frequency where the laws are different, the energetic laws, our thoughts come, our manifestation is much faster. Everything's going to be qualitatively different. So if our thoughts are still imbued with a lot of shadows, if we haven't been able to clear
mm-hmm.
them, we're going to start seeing things that are terrifying. And we're not going to be able to resonate with this fifth-dimensional reality. It's fine. We will just literally move back to where we resonate. And there's really no judgment in this. We all have our soul paths. We're all on arcs of learning. It's just that in the evolutionary time now, we're at the end of three different grand cycles, galactic cycles, the precession of the equinox, and I think the way us going around Alcyon and one other. And literally, we're in a time, like we finished a spiral where we've been working in these polarities to learn how to be everything, to be, you know, we've been victim and victimizer and, you know, murdered and murderer, and that's really okay. We were really apt to the light show. And if we think about it, we were actually learning how to be fluidly spirit inside of matter without being tempted by the things of matter, but yet using the beautiful sensations of matter. But what's happening now, literally, you can think of our development in this galactic way going in these spiral arms, and we finished the spiral of learning through polarity, and we are in a cosmic rearrangement due to be caught up in a spiral of mastery and co-creation, which is a whole different kind of expression, and that's really what we could manifest on a, you know, with, within the laws of the fifth and sixth dimension. And many people have really evolved their consciousness. We're seeing it all over. Not if we watch the news, but we are.
Yeah.
I mean, actually, since we've been coming into the light of the photon belt, it's been coming from the ground up. There's a famous, I forget the name of the author, but Blessed Unrest, he spoke at a Bioneers conference, and he spoke about, he said, this is humanity's immune response is now coming from the ground up. And he cited days and days worth of groups all over the globe, you know, where humans were responding to life in a different way, like starting to come out of our hierarchical top-down, which served us. But, yeah, so it's really an exciting time. It's also a very polarized, very, I don't know, dramatic. So there's a lot of really hard stuff going on within us, around us. And, you know, I think it's, we have to come into knowing how to make this transition.
Well,
so that's one reason I like the stellar dations. I think it helps.
Well, it does. I was thinking about, like, all of the tragedy and beauty that is the cosmic story. Like, each nation has the experience of high vibration and life and terrible, terrible, dark polarity, and then the reconciliation of that or rebalancing of that actively. So there's a lot of lessons that can be learned. Like, I know one of the kingdoms that really resonated with me was the lion, the lion kingdom, and the lessons of leadership. And that just really in our political stage was speaking to me, like, in a different way that gave me different compassion. The warrior stories of, you know, what is like to show mercy versus the harsh lesson of having to be punitive. Like, I could resonate with all the shoes that I was given an opportunity to walk in through the stores of the Stellar Nations so far.
Yeah. Thank you, Joelle. That's such a good reflection. And, it is beautiful because we empower ourselves with this, you know, because I kind of feel like the stars are are cells of our light body, and they are sentient beings. You can see that their world and aspects of our souls live there. We live there on certain stellar worlds by resonance because we're in that soul family with our galactic history or our galactic DNA, if you will, or we're learning what that star wants to be learning. And so you could think that if that's a cell or an organ of our light body casting light down, then it's like our light body has this very definitive structure. It has a skeleton, but it's an extension of us. You know, we're physical, emotional, mental, spiritual, and we're this grander light body that has informed us, you know, but always very unconsciously. But now that we are in the light of the photon belt in these last 20 years, the whole nature and texture of life has really changed. But we are getting so much light that it can be a little overwhelming if you, and that also incites the dark, but then it's bringing out what's in our unconscious. So I feel it's a way to organize, or the word I like, I feel, is to make our feel coherent with yourself. Know who you are. Know, you know,
mm-hmm.
like see the face in the mirror of your larger light body, which I would say is our larger ongoing consciousness.
Yes. And when you said the code, that it really is, it's like if somebody gives you a little key code and you open a little portal while you're looking through it, it changes everything then that you see through it, but then you can step away out of it back into like the mundane, close the key, you know.
Uh-huh.
But it does unlock something that makes things look very different if in a way.
Yeah, no, you're right. And exactly, that's a good concept because it's really about weaving the stellar consciousness into our earth plane and ourselves, because that enhances and lifts our earth plane. I mean, stellar consciousness and rays are going right into the crystal core of Gaia and being emitted through Gaia. We're getting that information that way. We're getting it directly now. Before we came into the light of the photon belt, our sun was literally like an arbitrator of the stellar rays. They would come in when they were in line with the sun, and they would cast into our Milky Way galaxy. So
yes.
we weren't really apprehending that part of ourselves. You know, we were working our way down in our 3D world, and now it's all sort of, we've been asked to open up to this greater vista of what we are. But you're right, because, you know, you can't remember all this at once. And I don't even know if it's remembering. You're not remembering like, oh, I was a pope in this life or whatever. I mean, you might get glimpses of stuff. You're really remembering or recalling energy patterns that,
mm-hmm,
as you
mm-hmm.
said, will wake up things that you just sort of know you want to shift. And it is good to be able to walk away, come in and out, because it is a weaving. And it's also, you just could not receive all that information at once. You try to a crisp, you know.
Yeah,
it's not meant to be.
Like,
our nervous systems aren't meant to do that.
It's light. It is light, you know, and that's literal and figurative and spiritual and energy and all that. It blow your circuits, you know, for real.
Exactly. Yeah, we're still, you know, we're third dimensional beings, and we have to respect the laws of,
yeah.
Although, you know, we are understanding that, boy, quantum magic comes in once in a while and amazing things happen. We're getting glimpses all the time. I mean, I think we're, even in terms of what you said about weaving, looking in, it's kind of like a little magic happens in your life. You know, that's part of it when the code opens. And then you go back to the mundane because that's what it is.
Well, but it does
okay.
make it easier, that influx of the higher vibrational understanding, as you've said, then it makes the polarity less extreme in your life, because you're understanding certain things. For me, you're understanding with more compassion, you're understanding and healing, like the recognized wounds, say, of betrayal of the felines, or, you know, as you internalize those stories that you read, then it does shed layers, it does lighten the load and raises us above. Not that we're out of
exactly.
it, we're still in the world, but it gives us an otherworldly opportunity to float.
Yeah, and you know what else happens, that just to follow what you said, we literally have in the etheric field of our heart chakra, we have 7 latent frequency seeds. And those are the 7 seeds of Christ consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And they are held in the stars of the Big Dipper. And the 4 ventricles of our heart actually correspond to the 4 principles of creation, which are in the Kru constellation. And that's divine love, divine law, divine mercy or grace, saying that we can always be picked back and received back, and then also divine will. And I think what we're moving into is, as we remember the truth of ourselves, that, well, the frequency, like if, like you said, you felt those stories, but it, they came from a frequency that woke up in you, and they actually stimulate, they catalyze our heart. They start waking up those latent frequency seeds, which are, like you just said, some of the words, their acceptance, their forgiveness, you know, the things that are very simple. We may know from a religious context, but they're actually platforms, because if you think about it, if you can stand in on, if something's happening, but you can stand on acceptance, it's like you're not going to dive into either side of the polarity. You're going to be able to watch it more. I had to experiment with that last year. My elderly mother, I was about to move her to assisted living, and she created a fire a few days before I got there. She was okay, but it a lot of smoke and water damage, and the whole endeavor of moving her household and, you know, getting rid of, I mean, it just became a whole different story. I got there. She lives in Charlotte. I got there and I was just like, oh my gosh, I have to go into 100% acceptance of what is. Otherwise, you know, otherwise I'm going to be waiting. I need all the energy I have. I can't spend it on. But the interesting thing happened. I made that intention and it really had a lot of grace in holding it. But what really fascinated me is, oh my goodness, it called in so many beautiful things. There was so much help from left and right and things I didn't expect, I didn't even think to ask for. But what I'm saying is, I think because there's a resonance to these frequencies and we do start, you know, magnetizing, you know, that is about, that's part of what it is about, creating another consensus reality. If we're all sort of vibing on those kind of resonances, we're going to be with each other differently and see each other differently. And actually that's, I think, what the truth of, you know, us, the idea of coming into the Aquarian age is that we have whole different relations with each other.
Yes, the individual and higher source, yes.
I've just talked a lot. I always
find our conversations fascinating. And I, of course, you and I could just keep talking. That's a beautiful thing, because I just, you, it's all just expansive and expanding. And I do know I'll be getting some more books. And for those of you who've been listening, if you want to have a session, we spent about 3 hours, two to three hours. I would say definitely 2 to 2.5. I don't know what you have now on your listing, but you get a chance to sit and talk in a very applicable way. I received a recording of my session, and I've referred back to it and played parts of it for my friends. But, and they were like blown away, because they're like, it's you. Oh my gosh. You know?
Oh, that's funny. You know what, Joelle? There's another wrinkle to this. When our solar year comes around, there's an Antarius code for your solar year, because in any given solar year, you know, when your birthday comes around, our code will shift a little, like a kaleidoscope, because different soul particles are aspects of ourselves will be coming in from new angles, or even parts of ourselves we haven't explored yet. Suddenly, that part is sending its light down, and it's
so
not.
So I need a new code?
No, no. You have to. Your natal code is your. If that's your blueprint, and that's like, you could compare it to being the canvas, right, that you're painted on. But you know, you live your life, and that picture gets new accents on it. New, you know, new little depth in the right corner or whatever. So a solar return is like a exploration of the given year, the opportunities or challenges, but against the backdrop of who you are natally. You know, that's
I need to sign up for a session then, because I'm almost six months into my solar year. My birthday was in October, so I guess I need to do I don't know. Do I need to just wait till October now?
It's up to you if you want to. I mean, you're living your life. You don't have to do this, but It's curious to check in.
There are some things that are coming up for clearing right now that I'm like, okay, this is different this year. And then we've got the eclipse. And, oh, my goodness, it's a big active movement in the galaxy that's being shown.
Exactly. Well, and I have to say, what we're coming up to in, you know, with the eclipse and the next few months, because we experience on the collective as well as individually, you know, the stars coming through the planets are asking us to really clean out the closet as far as shadows, which is a little hard on the collective, you know, because we don't always have the broad understanding. Luckily, there's a lot of strong groups, and it doesn't have to be the stellar nations. People have different resonances for how they get their coherency. But it is time to really start understanding that we're more than, you know, just the day-to-day, that there's a bigger arc of evolution. Yeah, and on your solar, I mean, only if you're called to. I've done it sometimes a little bit before the year for people because they want to see. Actually done it quite a number of times into the year, which is sometimes quite instructive because they've seen things come out and it's like it feels a little more identifiable or relatable. They're like, oh, my gosh, that's what's happening. You know what I mean? Whereas if I did it the week before or a month before their birthday, maybe that whole feeling of energy hasn't come in. I mean, they can think about it later. But anyway, there's no right or wrong.
Well, it's so active because that's partly why educating yourself, like myself, about like what the nations are, it was better looking back at my chart after we had our conversation. It fell into place differently. But I have to read the other volume two of the book before I'm going to have another session. So I've just given myself a little kick in the homework pants. Because it's been there's certain energies that I'm really excited to begin to encounter because I'm a very much a dolphin and whale person. I haven't even got to that chapter yet.
Those videos that I made for those were very fun to make. They're quite amazing. And when I made the videos, you know, one nation after another, and we had discussions, it really brought, I'm always learning new things, but it really brought home to me a certain kind of weaving or continuity of why they come in the order they come in. I mean, they recommend that you read them in order, and people often don't because they get called in one or another. But, you know, you could always, buy, like, if you wanted to get even just the, those videos are for sale for $33 each or three for $33. $93.99. You know, even if you wanted to enhance your self or kick yourself with your homework, they're on Quantum Planet World, so that, you know, that's just an option there. But it was fun to do those nations.
I appreciate
those amazing nations.
It's a great value. It's extremely great value for the teaching. It's a great value for the books and the ebooks and the meditations that they've had. I know my moderator just showed there. He have bought their Antares code, so I'm sure you'll be getting an inquiry at some point after the code is delivered from one of the connections tonight. And for people who want to contact you, do you have an email or that you're willing to share or a place where they can connect with you?
Basically, I use my email. I might be sorry over time, but it's just my name, Leslie, L-E-S-L-I-E, and dot Shankman, S-H-A-N-K-M-A-N. And then the number 13, because I was born on the 13th, and it's the 13th Stellar Nations. That's at gmail.com.
Okay,
so,
thank you.
I keep a mailing list, so if people are like, I don't do tons of stuff out, so you're not going to be inundated.
No, you're not
speaking
at all.
if stuff comes up, if I make a YouTube, or like I'm going to hold an open Zoom for discussion or something, And actually, I'm getting so many interested people. There's been kind of a flourish. It goes in cycles. Mm-hmm. Actually, I've been doing this 11 years, and it's really in an up cycle now. But I think people might want to start talking to each other. I may, you know, offer, if we people want to be on a not a blind email list and get in touch with, you know what I mean? Maybe I'll see if people who want to, like, put in their email, put where they live as far as their time zone, because it is really fun to, when you get this language, it's really fun to have friends that know this. You could literally do a state with, you could say a star would be a whole, explain a whole situation. You know, there's a real shorthand here.
It gives you a common language, or it's like if everybody watches Grey's Anatomy, you can go refer to Grey's Anatomy, you know, specific context, and everybody gets it. So if everybody knows the code structure, when we look through the portal, we'll be able to compare notes.
Yeah. So I do hope it grows. And over time, I'd really love to train more people to read the Antares Code. I think it's such a valuable tool. And really, you don't have – it's laid out on an astrological wheel. I have learned astrology by self-study to some extent, but I am not an astrologer. You really don't want to get pulled into too much astrology with this, because what it is it's our cosmic history through the stars, and it's much more about embodying the stories, and it's much more about kind of understanding the psychology and the relational dynamics. And then when you start understanding that, and you know just a little bit about the astrological radix, which is some of what I've tried to bring out in some of the videos I've made, but if you, then you can, that's what it takes to be able to, you know, read a code, your own code successfully, and hopefully more people over time want to do that, or, you know, get to that point.
Yes, I mean, it's once you start to try to explain to somebody, and then you know, like you said, you begin to then be able to use it as a common understanding, it does spark a curiosity in others in your vibe tribe, if you will, you know, so it moves, it expands from person to person. And there was one other question I was going to ask you. Oh, it'll float back around. I know it was something. So in 2014, believe it or not, this was the first time that I saw or heard the lyrics "We Are Stardust, We Are Golden" by Joni Mitchell. Mm. I didn't know it was Woodstocky, right? It was 2014. You know, after an intense awakening cycle that we, I think, all went through. And at the time, I had a letdown, a post-2012 letdown, because it was like, but wait, I thought it was going to be different. Not realizing now how we really did go through an ascension portal. It just didn't feel like it at the time.
Right.
So all kinds of metaphysical awareness about the true age or origin of the cosmos was coming into me in 2009, 10, 11, 12. And so then I encountered, 2014, that stardust consciousness, and then Pleiadian things started coming in more so personally in Arcturians. And so by the time we get to 2019, or, you know, whenever I ordered my Stellar Nations, it was definitely, I'd already kind of integrated that it wasn't just Pleiadian or Arcturian. There was no conflict. It was just like recognizing cosmic signatures in my own self. And so
that's beautifully said.
It came to me at the right time. And then I wound up going, starting in 2016, to Chichen Itza, to Mexico, to the Riviera Maya. And so that whole 13 that you were mentioning, and the importance of it numerologically, and the counting of the time experience that we've agreed to as a construct, and you mentioning the waveform and cycle, you know, it's all so resonant, and their star and cosmology mastery that the Mayans were able to bring in during their cycle.
Yes, yes, yeah. And that so tracks with also what the Stellar Nations have been doing, because they were shown, when they anchored everything in 2007, they were shown, they were asked to do a ceremony that at the end of 2007. They had to get 3,333 people involved in this. That was a minimum number. And it was, and they had to kind of go outside the boundaries of their group, but they did end up doing it. Mm-hmm. And what it was called the Correction of Fate, and it was attaching a divine plan of the years to our Earth, kind of, so that from 2008 to 2021, one stellar nation at a time would come forward with, and that's when they were working with them and the more stars were revealed and they were hearing the deeper stories. But that's what's provoking our awakening, because we're coming into the stellar light, but these forces were coming in with the further stories, the stars were being revealed. So you think you have a lot of dolphin codes. 2019 was the year of the dolphin coming forward. You can take, so I've written some blogs on this. If you start from the bottom up, it's, you know, it's embedded in there, but what each year was, you can see it. Like you said, how you can see things in the news, you can see mm-hmm. the progression mm-hmm. of us realizing. And 2021 could have been another ascension portal, but you know, we just didn't energetically get there.
Yes.
There's a lot of forces. Well, but we know things really, it kind of did. Like, you mean, there was, the galactic energy was there. There was a big shake. And 2020 really set that up in a way. That was the year of the whales and the redemption of the fallen angels. Because the fallen angels, actually, part of the story, were reborn into the light body of a whale.
Yes,
the
whale, yes.
Yeah. But I think if we really think about it, because we know that's when COVID hit and everything came down with the lockdown, we really, those people who were due to really wake up really left the gate then. You know what I mean? The last 4 years have been very, very active for people who have gotten that urge or inner impulse to know that there's something that we're onto. And now, you know, I've talked so long now, I think we're probably getting over our time, but, you know, I can tell you what each year has been since then. Like a new plan came in, and we are in the year of trying to rectify the energy of the warrior nations, which is beautiful. Warrior part of ourselves is, you know, absolutely necessary. A warrior will stand up for a principle, and that's the true meaning of a warrior. But you know, there's lapses, so we're trying to rectify that.
Well,
and you know, the funny part is, go ahead. Sorry.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, no, I was just going to say the interesting part of all this is we really have to not get caught in a us and them, like we're working for the light and there's dark. And what I mean by that is, of course, we're not separate in creation, but that aspect that we see that's fallen, and it's particularly in what's happening now, we've got fallen dragons, fallen angels, fallen arthropods, and fallen male serpents as the energy basis of a lot of what's happening on Earth and we see. But those are aspects of ourselves that didn't take the natural initiations. Like, if you look at life, you know, nature, every year, the leaves fall off, right? There's cycles. We think it's death, but then we were reborn. Well, you know, there's that initiatory cycle inside everything to keep creation flowing and fresh.
Yes.
So when you look at the stories, you see really something choked about staying with the trust in the initiation cycle. So consequently, that part of our being hasn't grown, is locked in a shadow pattern, and also needs to steal energy, rob energy, and really can't get much further than the fourth dimension. So they're circulating around the third and fourth dimension, creating a lot of havoc, locking people down in all kinds of ways. But I think it helps us to understand, in a way, that's a part of ourselves. It's a part of ourselves that didn't take initiations. And why it's helpful is right now we're going through this huge initiation, really, as a collective and as individuals. You know, it's just another part of the cycle, of the spiral. But yeah. I think that what we're really being asked to understand is this is a very important initiation, and this is a chance, literally, like by the divine, what is it, Gakru, divine grace, divine mercy. That is a river of redemption that runs through all of creation. It's a promise. Any time you want to just look and come back to the light, we'll lift you up. But, you know, the thing about it is you have to be willing to just be so surrendered, more than we probably realize, because we get into a habit when we start realizing maybe we want to get back. We get into patterns of, like, penance and, oh, I've got to make up for this. We just can't be in that energy anymore because it doesn't match. It doesn't help us move. It doesn't make our frequency open up on the fifth dimension.
Yes.
And it doesn't serve anything. You know, it's an old paradigm that you have to think you're bad and atone for it. There's a bigger law. The bigger law is there's redemption, but you do have to go into deep surrender for it and trust. And it's the initiation, you know, that's going to feel like you're burned into a phoenix, you know, phoenix pile of ashes, but the phoenix rises.
It does. You know, it's also interesting, and we'll close out after this, but there's always some more things, and of course spirit comes in and brings in things for us to talk about. You mentioned Jonah, and like the whale, so with this eclipse that's coming up, I know that I've seen posts, I don't know if this is verified or factual or whatnot, but that the eclipse will be going over three different towns that are named Nineveh over the United States in the pathway of the totality.
What's that mean? What's that name mean? Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Well, so Nineveh is where Jonah was supposed to be going when he didn't go, and then he went into the belly of the whale in the biblical story, where he spent, 3 days in the belly of the whale before he was spit back out, and then he obediently went ahead and carried the message that he was supposed to carry. I think,
interesting about that? Oh, I got the shivers. The sun on that eclipse is conjunct Chiron and very near Mercury. But imagine the eclipse, the shadow is conjunct Chiron. There's the star coming through the sun and Chiron, and I believe Mercury, on the eclipse is called Baton Kados. It's the belly of the whale. It's a cosmic fourth dimensional prison for those who needed to be sort of, after galactic wars and so much destruction, needed to be pulled into a timeout, into this belly of the whale chamber of mirrors. And some beings realized and said, I want redemption. And they were born out of the tail of the whale, which is happening on the eclipse, now, actually. So from the 21st to the 26th, no, the 21st, so that's a few days from now, that star is going to be coming through the sun, where you can be born out of the belly of the whale into the light body of the whale, which is a metamorphosis process to go back to our original destiny codes. But what we've got then coming up is the whole chamber of mirrors being the necessity to look at our patterns, really, on a collective. Now, I've thought about it in terms of does it mean that some of the dark forces will be pulled into it and it's going to help us get ahead? Does it mean that we as a collective have to look at Chamber of Mirrors? Does it mean those who haven't taken this opportunity on the under the energies right now, coming up 21st to the 26th, to come out of the belly of the whale, that they're going to kind of be roiling in it over the next few months to have our Chamber of Mirrors and be asked to make a decision?
Does that
make sense, what I'm saying?
Yeah, that feels, so what I was also, like, that's a good question, because even as I was shown in my mind's eye, this eclipse and the belly of the whale, as you were saying, like the prison area, there's also supposed to be a comet then visible in the darkness of the totality. And I don't remember mm-hmm. which comet it is. And
I've just seen two articles on it. It's all coming out now. Yeah, it's going to be out there in the news
so
or whatever. Go ahead.
In the popular movie that is out right now, on Netflix, Avatar: The Last Airbender. It's an 8-part series mm-hmm. of the old animated cartoon. But in it, the Fire Nation has decided that power means they have to disrupt the harmony and go to war and extinguish the other elements. And they leverage this 100-year return of a cometary being in the sky to supercharge their stealth attack on these peaceful nations. And that sets into play then 100 years of change, patriarchy, basically. And this avatar, you know, being who's basically arising into consciousness of all his elemental abilities is out to, in his quest, prevent it or to answer for the destruction. And one of the things that is done is that the flame kingdom decides to attack the kingdom that is the alliance between the moon and the ocean. They choose their particular knight of power to steal their elemental energy force in a ritualistic way. So this currently playing popular messaging is showing the idea of using planets and comets and things to superpower either dastardly or good deeds. So, you know, when we've got this Nineveh eclipse and you're talking about the prison of the belly of the whale being right over there, I'm like, well, what's going on? Are they trying to jailbreak everybody? Is this like Ghostbusters?
Oh, my God. Well, wait, what? How is that? I'm not sure I followed if it's bringing us to a valiant, like, rise up ending, or is it suggesting that something we need strife for 100 more years?
I don't know. The predictive programming model likes to put in, if it's in popular media, I always assume that there's like a negative programming influence.
Well, that's why I'm wondering. Yeah,
you know,
because then they get our consensus if we watch it, you know, and we have to be really careful with that.
But when you talk about the fact that in 2021, we could have gone like maybe a slightly different trajectory, but we had a needed catalyst, but we just weren't also in a frequency to make the next evolutionary leap. Maybe it's something that just continues to destabilize us with fear and a lessening rather than a all hell breaks loose kind of thing that they were showing in the little TV series.
It is interesting because we have to be careful about those images. Now, if we look at Stellar Nations and what they and Onico have read, we do have really this challenging energy of the lapses this year and next year, but we have very amazing potential for the Bear Nation and Christ Consciousness to start coming in. In the Stellar Nations, they feel that there's the possibility of a ascension portal opening up in 2030. I mean, literally, like, Gaia becomes a Merkaba at that point, right?
So
like,
beautiful.
We can hardly remember it when we realize it, because you think, like, I want to look at the sky and think of the Earth flying across it, but it's really not like that. It's a dimensional shift somehow.
Yes.
But, you know, in the stellar nations, our sun is an eighth Pleiadian star who's last.
Yes.
And our solar system is our sun's pathway back to the Pleiades. He was granted the right to work out his fate by setting up our Milky Way, our solar system, our Milky Way, or our solar system with the planets, because he was supposed to take the fate of his father, Atlas, which as an adolescent in an Aquarian age, he felt like, that is so boring. I'm not going to stand there. And yet his father, Atlas, kept saying, son, you're being trained to be relied upon, to be like sort of someone who can be a holder of change, who can be, you know, keep fluidity going. But he didn't understand that. So he lapsed, you know, and our solar system happened. But now we're entering an Aquarian age with our sun, I believe, as a consciousness, and us, you know, this is just the mirror, really saying, wait a minute, what does it mean? And what is our sovereignty? And how do we want to use this? Because I don't think we want to stay in this cycle.
No.
But it is interesting how a lot of these things are used as images, some of them co-opted. A lot of sophistication.
One of the things that gives me hope in this is that this was a cartoon that, like, people, you know, I was born in 71. My younger brother, who's born in 77, but always was into, like, cartoons and anime and graphic stuff. He's been into this airbender theory for years, which it does teach about elemental balancing. But at the crux of the issue as to why the imbalance happened is because in the movie they successfully, the Avatar was not around. Like the single one Christed being was not around to intercede. But in the new awakening, when he comes back to life, all the other beings who begin to travel with him, they're mastering then the elemental ability. So it's like, even though he's still the Avatar, there's kind of this larger message that we all have superpowers and we all can be enlightened. And these kids have been watching this for years. So I think that they identify with being airbenders already. They've already embodied the kind of cartoon magic spirit. So it kind of might have been geared for them more than for us.
And that makes sense. And, you know, ever since the 90s, Bayonetta said that every generation has come in with kind of a different mission flame.
Mm-hmm.
But in the 90s, the kids started coming in with some cleared karma because it was working towards originally the opportunity of ascension in 2012.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when it was really co-opted, you know, when the internet came on and the EMFs and the, and it was a very, very targeted attempt, you know, the over-sexuality, whatever you call it, the antidepressants, targeted attempt to dampen down the power of that generation, which unfortunately it's created a lot of confusion because it was pretty hard. I'm watching the kids come in now. I just became a grandma. There's so much savvy. I mean, I think they've come in with more remembering.
Oh my gosh.
You know what? Yeah, so we'll see. But I'm a little enchanted by, I don't know if it's good or not, but there are some pretty amazing little video vignettes of younger kids now. And boy, they are genuine and smart. And
pure, unprogrammed constructs.
Yeah, very unprogrammed. Yeah.
It's just very exciting. I mean, the charts for them and by the consciousness that they're showing us is being manifested is, I have to look at them because if I look at the people my age, and you know, the density operators that we're all in, these little, even not even the millennials, the next ones after the millennials, they are just like these little fairies.
No, isn't that beautiful? I know, I'm starting to see that and wonder, and they know, then that anchors a level of that energy and that helps in the balance. But you know what? If you want to jump topics for a second, and I don't know if you want to be done, but I found the information on this comet, which is pretty fascinating.
Oh, yes, please, please.
Okay, so it says around the world, this is from spaceweather.com, astronomers are monitoring comet 12P Pons Brooks because it's going to approach the sun for a close encounter in April. And most cameras are focusing on its magnificent tail, which is growing longer every night. But then there's a Norwegian astronomer who decided to take a closer look at the comet's core. And in the core, he found a spiral. He used special photographic techniques. And the reason he said it's doable to find this with his technique is because the core itself was not blown out or saturated. And they've other astronomers looking at this have noticed the spiral or yin-yang shape of the comet core. It appears to be real. And then they say, why a spiral? Take a look at the comet's light curve. Some astronomers believe that 12P's frequent outbursts are a sign of, they call it cryovolcanism. In other words, cryo and then the word called volcano in some way. So let's see what that means. So according to this idea,
like frozen in lava, both.
I don't know. Let's see what they say. But there's something about, you're right, polarity and yin-yang and the spiral.
Yes.
But it appears with this idea that the cosmic comet surface is peppered with geysers, which spew icy plumes of dust and gas into space. And they vent when they're exposed to sunlight. And what happens is these exhaust plumes naturally bend themselves into spirals as the comet rotates. Oh, my God. Okay,
wow.
So you can usually see it in the western sky after sunset, about 15 degrees above the horizon for most observers. It's a shining as brightly as a sixth magnitude star, whatever that means. And it's been passing alongside the Andromeda Nebula. That's called the Pegasus, which are the messengers of divine.
So it's bringing in some divine codes?
Who knows? Maybe. I mean, Sunday, just what's today, Tuesday? Sunday was the sun, I believe, was lined up with Neptune, and there were two beautiful Pegasus stars on that. Pegasus are messengers of, they're very close to the divine mind, and they're basically given messages that are like seeds of light, and they're asked to take them into dark places that are in darkness and to plant them. But as they go on their missions, they draw lines of light between parts. And so those lines of light stay. So over time, especially when the seeds of light in a given world start to open up, it's like a process of realizing that we're all one co-joined light body, you know, where that's part of our evolutionary realization coming to be, I guess.
Oh, this is so, that's why, okay, it's like you're not working in the Antares code, like you're just, like this is, it's applicable, like much of what's playing out when you, again, open that code of the Antares fractal and understanding, it's exciting. It's not fearful.
It is.
It's informing.
It yeah, well, you know, it gives us a lot of courage because it can be really despairing, you know, to see what people are going through or even what we might be personally going through.
Oh,
but
yeah, the world stage. Yeah.
Yeah, if we can have at the, it becomes a practice of polarity for us, because we may be in great despair, but if, then if we know that, and then it's about holding them two simultaneously, and when you can do that, that's when you can move up through the middle. And that's exactly what I realized when people were, when I was helping them die. It's like they were going through the grief of leaving the earth, but I was helping them develop an excitement of moving on. And then they got to a point when they could hold both of them, and then they would usually come to a great peace and die, you know, within a reasonable time after that. Mm-hmm. It's like a process.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's us, you know, and in a different way. We're that's
yeah.
kind of a death and rebirth process for us individually and collectively.
Yes. That's a beautiful, beautiful picture. It gives me a beautiful feeling of expansive peace, you know?
That's why I said grounded in boundlessness.
Yeah, right. Boundedly unbounded. Okay, hello,
yeah.
Yin Yang.
Well,
Leslie,
yeah, exactly.
I've enjoyed you so much, and I will be back in contact, I'm sure. Anyone, if you have any questions, please let me know, and I will put you in touch with her and this beautiful resource. And hopefully we'll hear from a few of our listeners who decided to embark on their own Antares Code experience. And is there any last little tidbit of wisdom you would like to share with our listeners before we sign off?
I don't think so. I think really it's come out in the conversation is, you know, that we're moving into our heart and that there is something bigger happening that's actually quite wonderful. And if we can really, really hold trust and faith in that, it's because what's happening really is we have to create what we want at the same time as calling it in. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like it's there. You know, there's a possibility. There is a new earth. It's there, but we're simultaneously calling it in and creating it. We have to be, you know, we really have to transform. And I think we've said that in many ways in this conversation. And I really deeply appreciate you giving me the opportunity. Thank you very much.
Oh, it's been my pleasure, my pleasure. Thank you, everyone who's listened this evening, and in the future, you'll find it in the perfectly aligned time that it was meant to touch you, to unlock something in you, hopefully, at a conscious and cellular level. I'll be back again with another interview on the Psychic Inside Show, and tomorrow, if you're on YouTube, Wednesday evenings, I'm in the cards with the Vibrarian, and we're going to see what messages want to come in for the spring equinox energies, our planting and sowing and watering and nurturing that we're going to be doing in the coming months. I'm sure is going to be a theme. So I wish each of you a beautiful, beautiful and blessed week, and that those blessings spill out from you and fertilize, bless, and uplift the world around you. The light in me honors and sees the light in you. Namaste.
Well, namaste. Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.